Welcome to another podcast from Air Insight, LLC.
Today is January the 11th, and the Air Insight team back today, Scott Hamilton and Addison Schoenland, and today we are speaking with longtime aviation reporter and middle seat columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Scott McCartney. And Scott, one of the areas that we have a great deal of interest in today, of course, is this merger news, which has been bubbling under, and a lot of people have been thinking it wasn't going to happen, and then suddenly it popped right up.
Well, it did. This has been going on for a long time, and it's a little bit to me like Lucy and Charlie Brown with the football, and Charlie Brown has tried to kick the merger football several times, and Lucy pulled it back each time. Going back 10 years to United trying to buy U.S. Air and all kinds of other episodes where we thought, oh, here it comes, there will be industry consolidation, this is it, they're all going to start buying each other. This time around, this may indeed be the time when it really happens. There are some unique factors that are really pressuring airlines, the largest of which is $100 oil. With the recession coming, I think they're looking at it as though, we can either end up back in the same cycle that we were before, or maybe, we finally need to try something different.
This is the other Scott. The prospect of a merger between Delta and United strikes me as it would have so many antitrust implications that it would be fairly difficult to get through. Now, granted, they're trying to do this in the last year of the Republican administration, which tends to take the view that it never sees a merger it doesn't like. But of the two that have been talked about in the papers today, United and Delta or Delta and Northwest, what are your thoughts on one or the other?
I think Delta Northwest is clearly the easier one to do. They're already alliance partners. They're frequent flyer program schedules. I mean, there's already so much that's integrated that it really would be the easier one, and obviously Richard Anderson knows Northwest extremely well, so you have that advantage. But I don't think there's as much benefit there, in part because they already have aligned their networks so much that the United option would offer a lot more benefit. And United's essentially been for sale for 3 years, and I think. Given United's network, United has much better hubs in the U.S. United is really weak on the East Coast and to Europe, and Delta fits that need. That combination has a lot more upside potential. But you're right. I think it's more difficult from a regulatory standpoint. I think it's more difficult from an alliance standpoint because of the Star Alliance versus SkyTeam So there would be more hurdles to that one than I think there would be for the Northwest folks to fold into Delta.
Well, the fleet integration problem strikes me as enormous in pretty much either combination. Northwest is principally an Airbus narrow-body operator. Delta is a Boeing narrow-body body operator. Northwest is a Airbus long haul operator. Delta is a Boeing long haul operator. Then you have the labor union situation. Delta, of course, only has the one labor union, but Northwest labor unions are notoriously prickly. United labor unions are notoriously prickly. And then who would be the surviving carrier? How would the labor situation work its way out? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very difficult, but, labor may not be as difficult as it has been in the past. I think labor has a realization that bankruptcies and enormous losses are much more painful for labor than maybe any other constituency in it. So I'm not sure that there would be as much labor resistance. There's the potential here for labor to do quite well, to have a much stronger, larger airline. Who doesn't want to be the biggest airline in the world? And to have more stability and the chance to, you know, typically in mergers, I mean, everybody's contract is hammered down, and there's probably not a whole lot difference between them. But you do, when you merge, have the chance to do some renegotiation, and they typically end up with the, you know, whatever is the higher of the two contracts. So there's some opportunity here for labor that I think they might take advantage of. But you're right, the integration would be extremely difficult. It would be a little bit easier with Delta because the flight attendants and mechanics aren't organized, and so that might go a little smoother. And I think from a fleet perspective, that's just a long-term problem any way you look at it that's going to have to be hammered out. I think, you know, there's, if it were Northwest, there's the potential for Airbus to make some good gains. And I suspect that either manufacturer would help, swap out different planes.
I saw one thing today where somebody referred to this as a potential murder-suicide, meaning that the one who gets left behind is, you know, may as well just throw themselves on their sword. If Northwest and Delta, in fact, tie up, which, I mean, I think we all agree that there seems to be a lot stronger bonds to pull that together, that kind of leaves United hanging, not to mention what's going to, of course, there's going to be the follow-on things, what happens with American, what happens with Continental.
And U.S. Air.
Well, yeah, but U.S. Air is still going through such digestion. If you look at the pilot problems they're having now getting U.S. Air East and U.S. Air West to work, can you imagine what will happen trying to merge Northwest and Delta's crews?
Well, first off, I wouldn't necessarily discount the United option for Delta at this point. I think there's the interest in having a much higher upside may be significant, and they might try that. You had asked before about the surviving carrier. I think it's pretty clear that Richard Anderson wants to be a buyer, not a seller. And so this would, I would assume, be Delta looking to be the surviving management team at the least. I just think in terms of what happens next after this, the pieces in some ways, you know, would fall into place. If Delta and United hooked up, then I think you would see Northwest with Continental or maybe with American, and you could have a pretty interesting potentially bidding war for Northwest. I think if it were Continental and Northwest, then you'd see American do some other things, maybe U.S. Air, maybe some smaller transactions like Alaska or things like that. And take it the other way, I think there's a lot of synergy between Continental and United. And I could see that if Northwest did a transaction and Continental was freed up more, then I think Continental would be a player there.
Who's going to finance these deals? There's if you saw what happened this morning with Bank of America and Countrywide, you've got to figure, well, wait a second, where is the money going to come? Who's going to want to put money into the U.S. airline industry?
Well, it's always amazed me that there are always people willing to put lots of money into the U.S. airline industry. Just look at the U.S. Airways transaction. With America West and U.S. Airways, you had two companies, one that was on the doorstep of liquidation, the other, which was on the doorstep of its own bankruptcy, or second bankruptcy, and people came in and financed the transaction. you have to start from the standpoint that these are not really big deals from a traditional. They're big names, but airlines aren't worth a whole lot of money in a relative sense, and so it doesn't take a whole lot. Most of the transactions that we're talking about, I think, would be essentially stock swaps, where you just replace the two different stocks of the airlines with shares of a new company, the surviving company. And, you know, it does take some money to finance this. It does take some money to do the capital improvements that you need to incur the added cost that you have in the short run and all that. But there have always been private equity, you know, folks like David Bonderman who is willing to finance some deals and then cash out later on with nice returns. There are leasing companies that have financed things. There are creditors. There are, you know, it's a fairly long list of people willing to put money into the airline industry.
We've seen over in Europe a lot of activity with the environmentalists going after the airline industry over there with emissions trading schemes and a variety of other things to try, in some cases, in the extreme with that outfit called Plain Stupid, apparently trying to ground the airline industry. And Europe has been really active in this area, but it hasn't been so, at least overtly active over here in the United States. But this seems to be the year where the environmental movement in this country might actually take place. Last month, four environmental groups petitioned the Environmental Protection Agency to impose mandatory greenhouse emission regulations on the airline industry. Scott, what do you think about where we might be headed over here this year?
I think there will be heightened awareness and heightened interest in environmental issues, but I think it'll follow pretty much how environmental issues in general have gone in this country versus Europe. I don't think the airline industry will be terribly unique in this regard. I mean, American consumers are still driving big cars. You know, I look out my window and see a lot of SUVs go by and all that. And there are a lot of differences in terms of lifestyle and environmental concern in Europe that haven't taken root over here. I think it's a hard sell, particularly in the United States, to convince somebody that an airplane carrying 150 people is a bigger polluter than a car carrying two people. And, you know, the reality is it isn't. It's a more efficient way to transport people. So I think, you know, all in all, people will pay more attention. But for the airline industry, this ultimately is a long-term manufacturer's problem. It's difficult for airlines themselves to change their emissions.
I can't resist observing, Scott, that your commentary on the big SUVs outside your window is endemic to Dallas, Texas. I'm not sure that that other parts of the world or country might actually agree with that, but I'm being a little facetious there. Well, there is also a bill in Congress, Senate Bill 2191, that Senator Lieberman and retiring Senator Warner from Virginia introduced last October. It wasn't specifically aimed at the airlines, but the airlines would be caught up in the provisions of the bill. And under EPA regulations, they have 180 days to respond to the petition from the environmentalist groups. And then I think it's another few months after that to essentially propose regulations. And this is actually part of a larger effort on the part of the environmentalists that went after the greenhouse gas emissions for the automobiles, and the courts just ruled the EPA had to go after that. So I'm not sure that I agree that this is going to be kind of a so-what issue. I think it's certainly going to be a big irritant to the industry, I think, coming up this year.
Well, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting. To me, the fascinating issue coming out of Europe is the notion that a plane load of people who paid, €1, not a plane load of people paid €1, but the low fare discount airlines offering, lots of trips to people, weekend getaways at extremely low prices, that the notion that that's a bad thing is really fascinating, because that is, I think, would really chafe at any sort of American sense of, cheap prices are good and more travel is good and as much consumption as possible is good. So I think, long term for the airline industry, that's an interesting quandary of maybe low prices and multiple flights and lots of discount carriers from an environmental sense or any other sense are not a good thing. And I think it sort of may play out the same way that Walmart has had difficulty in Europe, that there is a sense that you can be too cheap.
All right. Well, I think that about covers it for today. Want to thank you, Scott McCartney from the Wall Street Journal, and Addison Schoenland, and for myself, Scott Hamilton, from the Air Insight team.
Good to be with you guys.
This podcast is copyrighted by Air Insight, LLC.